introduce myself. Right. Hi, this is Lilia with the Help Yourself podcast. And with me today, I have Janice Klein. Janice is a food scientist. We were introduced last week by, well, we've almost crossed paths before, but we have a mutual friend, Angela Trainer, who was raving about all your skills and your knowledge. And I thought you sound very much like my friend Claire, and I absolutely have to chat to you because I am so buzzed and excited about, I know that you grow your own food, you ferment your own food, you know the science, you understand why we're doing it. So thank you so much, Janice, for coming on Help Yourself. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. Thanks so much for inviting me on, Lilia. That's my absolute favourite thing, is to talk about how we can improve our health through eating the most delicious food. So I love the opportunity to just get out to more people, the importance of, you know, you actually are. And the saying is not anymore, you are what you eat. And then it used to be, you are what you absorb. Now it is, you are what you host. So you are your gut microbe, your gut microbes. So that's when you're saying that, when I like.
You are what you host, absolutely. You are you familiar with Zach Bush? He's my new love of my life. And he talks about the biome of the planet is the soil. And, you know, if we're not looking after our soil, we can't possibly look after our own internal soil, which is our gut biome. So we will dive right into that, because I think unless you've been living under a rock somewhere, if you've not heard about the gut biome and the incredible importance of the gut biome for even actually causing cravings, for affecting depression and anxiety, for affecting everything, let's face it, the body is a living organism, and we really have had a very false view of it. Would you agree with that in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. And it used to be that the gut was largely thought of as just like your colon, is just, food goes in one end and it comes out the other end, and that was all there is to it. But now we've discovered that there are trillions of microbes living in our gut. It is like the control center of our body. Everything comes from the gut. Everything is controlled by the gut, as you said, even cravings. You know, and it used to be thought that it was your brain telling your gut what to do. It's the other way around. Is your gut is sending messages to your brain telling you what to eat. And again, with the gut, it's such an absolutely fascinating topic. I mean, I've got a science background. I've been researching microbiome and fermented food since about 2011. So I am literally obsessed by the whole thing. And it's just the most important thing for your health. It's now classed as an organ on its own, the gut microbiome. And, you know, every other day there's some other, you know, article to say, oh, the gut controls this, it's important in depression, for chronic disease, for your immunity. Everything, 80% of your immune system is in your gut. Your gut is controlled by all these amazing wee microbes. And as you said about soil, that's how I liken it as well. My first degree is agricultural chemistry with pure chemistry, so I do know a lot about soil. And you are absolutely right that we have to look at our own, you know, gut as our own piece of internal ecosystem. We need to have diversity. You don't want to just have like a monocrop. If you just have one, you know, or two types of microbes, that's classed as dysbiosis. So it just means that your body doesn't work as effectively as it could work. And the sad thing is, so many people now with chronic disease or getting older just think, oh, well, that's as good as I'm going to feel. And that's not the case at all. Absolutely not.
Absolutely. I think the one thing, I run retreats, and the thing that blows me away every single year, although I know it, is what you can achieve in 1 week.
Yeah.
How the body responds to the things that we absolutely know work. And that is one of the things at Heal Scotland. What we want in the future is that at the health visit, that they would say, well, here's what we can do for you, and here's what you can do for yourself. But I want to, you were talking there about, I think food is a subject that we all love to talk about because we all love to eat. And maybe a conception that healthy food, you know, back in the day was like about iceberg lettuce and a slice of tomato. Nothing could really be further from the truth now. Now, you, I know, are big into fermenting, like my friend Claire, and I do a little bit of that, but I'm absolutely in the process of making sauerkraut. And I actually saw you posted that. I'll share that now. Fermenting, obviously, can you explain why fermenting is so important and so powerful, please?
Yeah, well, again, people say, what is a fermented food? A fermented food is something that has been transformed by microbes, whether that be bacteria in the case of fermented veggies, or it's if you make tempeh, it's a fungus, so it's like a yeast that converts the food. But the really cool thing about fermented foods is they're literally pre-digested. The bacteria break down, all the things that are difficult to digest. Sourdough, for example, is another example of a fermented food. I love sourdough, make it all the time. The bacteria in your sourdough starter, those bacteria break down something called phytic acid, which is ingrained that holds on to things like all the minerals, like iron and zinc and calcium, all the things that our body needs. But if they're bound to phytic acid, your body doesn't absorb them. During the fermentation, the bacteria break that bond out, so it means all the minerals are available for your body to use, and a lot of the problem stuff, like the gluten, a lot of the gluten starts to get broken down, which means that people with digestive issues or people that think, oh, I have a problem with gluten, are generally fine with sourdough because it's been naturally fermented. And when you think about it, sourdough bread has been sustaining us since biblical times. So why has everyone got a problem with it these days? It's because it's not real food. Everything's been speeded up. The joy in fermented foods is because natural processes are allowed to happen. And it's the bacteria and it's the yeast and it's all the other microbes and these wee microorganisms that break down the food. So that when you eat something that's been fermented, it's essentially pre-digested. So your body has less work to do. And fermented foods are like super fertilizer for your gut bacteria. Sauerkraut, for example, because sauerkraut is going to be teeming with lactobacillus bacteria. These are like the bacterial bouncers, if you like, the guys you want in your side. These are the toughest guys in the bacterial world. If you make your own sauerkraut, your sauerkraut is going to be teeming with these guys. So you're sending them into your gut along with their food source, which is fibre. And it's a magical process, that's all I can say. It is fascinating, it is magical. These are traditional processes that have been around for hundreds of years. And as a food scientist, I can say we're the ones that have got it wrong by taking foods into labs and thinking, oh, we can improve that. I used to work with Warburton's. I worked in food science for a long time at Strathclyde Uni and worked with Warburton's, the bread people. And again, in the 60s, they brought in a new bread making process, a Chorleywood bread making process, literally to speed everything up. So none of the magical stuff happened. And it meant that, more salt had to be added, more yeast had to be added. Additives, emulsifiers, flour improvers, all this stuff that is added to food that is detrimental to your gut bacteria. In contrast to sourdough bread, which is made by a traditional process, I only use organic, so there's no pesticide residues in mine. And it's three ingredients, flour, water, salt, and it is the most fantastic stuff. So yeah, it's a whole different thing.
I've just started making my own sourdough loaves and flatbreads, thanks to Claire. She showed me how simple it was, because I think a lot of people say it's a faff, etc. But any new habit involves you getting your head around it and then just doing it often enough that it becomes, you do it without thinking. Now, I think let's go back to the gut biome, because I am absolutely obsessed by it as well, because as we know, it's not just your physical health, your mental health, your ability to connect, your intuition. I mean, it takes away the fog, doesn't it, when you have a healthy gut biome. And most of us, our kind of downhill journey to lethargy is a very slow one. So, I know I used to say to people, how are your energy levels? And they would say, fine. I said, well, how do you feel when you wake up? And they say, well, I'm knackered. I was like, so your energy levels aren't great then. But most of us are now living in this kind of suboptimum health, because it happens slowly. And it happens, things like antibiotics, the birth control pill, anything that we take orally that's gone through the farm, if you like, has, and obviously lots of alcohol, processed foods, junk food, stress, is all affecting the farm. So, but the idea that, that we, and aging as well is another lot of bull as well, because we can reverse and regenerate so much when we understand. So can you explain in very simple terms, if you have candida, low energy, bloating, skin problems, thrush, athlete's foot, any of these things, headaches, what could you do today to start to redress the imbalance? Because would you agree pretty much everybody's imbalanced? nowadays.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is something you touched on earlier, Lilia, is you can totally change your gut microbiome in a matter of a few weeks if you change your diet. It's all about plants and fibre. That's what it's all about. It's about diversity. It's about getting in and again, going back to the quality of the food that you're eating. If you grow your own, that is absolutely the best thing. I forage a lot of stuff as well. I love foraging. Foraging is a fantastic way of increasing diversity in your gut. And again, talking about that dysbiosis, all the things you mentioned are all things that will give you, that's what will cause dysbiosis. If, for example, you have to take antibiotics, that's totally going to destroy the majority of good bacteria along with the bad. Now, in our gut, everybody has a mix of good and bad. There's no such thing as, oh, I've got good bacteria in my gut. We've all got a mix. And the bad ones are generally kept in check by the good ones. But when you have to take antibiotics, the good ones are literally decimated, which means the things like Candida can come out from the wee corner and create absolute havoc and send messages to your brain to tell you to go and eat sugar and stuff your face with donuts because that's their food source. Once you're into that cycle and then thinking, oh my God, I have no willpower. Why am I eating crap all the time? It's those microbes in your gut that are sending messages to your brain in exactly the same way as when you start to eat better and more fiber. And with me, I eat fermented stuff all the time because I love it. I crave it because those wee good guys in my gut are sending messages to my brain to tell me to go and eat more of their food source, which is all the delicious things that I eat all the time. So it's possible to change things around pretty fast as well.
Now that is hugely, hugely powerful information that I truly believe most people don't understand. So I want to go back over it again. When you are craving, or if you're obese, or if you've got health issues, autoimmune problems, your gut biome, the little things in there are telling you what they want to eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where your cravings is. You beautiful stuff in your face with donuts. That is not because we're weak, we're stupid.
No.
We are literally having a craving because these little animals are like that, feed me, feed me, feed me.
Yeah.
It's not because you're stupid. It's not because of any, there could be lots of other reasons, but we really need to understand this is the level of importance for you. If you're craving and you're out of control, it is probably your gut biome. Would you agree?
Yeah, it will be, yeah. And the way I look at it, the way that I look at it as well is, you know, I imagine it's like, yeah, I've got one wee garden, everything's good in my garden. You know, there's wee guys going about with their wheelbarrows, planting things. The other guy's going about dampening down inflammation. You know, there's the lactobacillus, the bouncers getting rid of any bad guys, sending messages to your immune system to tell them, stand down, it's okay, or this looks like a dodgy character, you better, you know, get the big guns out, let's get rid of this guy. Or you've got, they're all doing different jobs, and there's loads of them all doing different jobs. And I imagine my gut is a nice, happy place. My gut garden's very nice. I've got all sorts going. I've got great diversity in there. I've got trees, I've got shrubs, I've got bushes, I've got flowering plants, I've got creeping plants, I've got all sorts of things. And for me, it's that diversity gives you resilience. If you eat like a really bland, eat the same stuff all the time, you're going to have a limited number of these good guys, which means if something happens to you, say for example you've got a garden and you only get grass, something happens to your grass, you've got nothing else what you're left with. Mm-hmm. And equally so, if you have a garden and you've got a bare bit on it, what's going to grow in that bare bit? It's the weeds. You're never going to get anything good. So that's another thing, that if you have a dysbiosis in you, you've got to put the good guys back in. And it's if you happen to take antibiotics, and many other countries, if someone's prescribed antibiotics, they're given either probiotics along with it, or they're given advice about their diet. Okay, once you stop taking those antibiotics, then you've got to re-establish a balance, a better balance. And people are not given that information.
Absolutely. And that's the big problem. There are so many simple and very often free things that we can do to help, where it's just an adjustment, a spend shift rather than an extra cost, because that's one of my big gripes is that the belief that you have to be rich in order to be healthy.
No.
So we know
that you don't.
Uh-huh. And so, carry on, sorry.
I was going to say, I come across that all the time, you know, and for me, my health's a priority. I mean, I'm one of these people, I just love to eat. I love food. I don't eat food I don't enjoy. I love food. I'm plant-based, eat mostly vegan. So, I mean, it actually doesn't cost us that much for food at all. I forage stuff, I grow herbs, I grow what I can. I mean, I don't have a fantastic garden for growing. I mean, I've got a permaculture design, so I've got, I used to grow more stuff, but my garden's not ideal, but it's fine because I eat mostly, you know, sort of seasonal stuff. That's another thing, eat seasonally. If you eat seasonal stuff, that's when it's at the best for you, and it's generally when it's cheapest as well. And again, what I do is I'll get stuff that's seasonal. Then what I do is I ferment stuff, like fermented asparagus, for example. I love asparagus. And it's a fairly short season. So what I do is then, okay, I just ferment it in a salt brine, which makes it even more delicious. It makes it absolutely teeming with these probiotic bacteria, and it means I can enjoy it over a longer time. So it did tick so many boxes, to be honest.
This is, I think, the thing that I saw when I was up at Claire's holding. Obviously, right now, there's tons of stuff growing, and there's tons of things to make into teas and tinctures and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But obviously, and particularly in Scotland, it can be quite a long winter. So we would, if we were supplying our own food, which I think we have to do, we have to take the power back, we would need to be preparing a lot of our foods, fermenting, drying, making jams and jars and chutneys and all that, and so that we have a good, you know, nutritional food supply throughout the winter. And that takes time, because this is the thing, isn't it? Lockdown's been great because I think a lot of us have been baking again and doing things that we've never had time to do.
Yeah, I couldn't get any flour for ages. I was just
struggling. So tell me, what flour? I want to ask you about two specific things: fermented potato wedges, because I love potato wedges, and what flour do you use in your sourdough?
I use all different types of flour. I love rye. I make rye sourdough a lot, so I like traditional seeded rye sourdough. I use spelt flour. I use organic. I use a mix of white flour. I use wholemeal flour. I use spelt flour. I mix it up a bit. And again, for that very reason, you're talking about diversity. I don't eat the same thing all the time. Yes. I mix it up. Right. I mean, so many people have a problem with wheat these days, and it's not necessarily okay the way that, you know, bread's made. It's the fact that wheat, conventional wheat, is generally sprayed with glyphosate, which is a toxic weed killer. If you're eating wheat, and let's be honest, most people eat wheat every single meal. They'll have toast in the morning, or cereal, they'll have a sandwich, have a wrap, or pasta, pizza, cakes, biscuits. Wheat is in pretty much everything. Yes. So if you're eating that on a regular basis, you can guarantee your body's going to be storing up glyphosate residues, and that's not going to do your gut microbiome any good. So I always use organic flour for my sourdough, because for me, that's the best quality. And it goes back to, again, if you're, you know, growing your own, that's absolutely the best. Organic, if you can afford it. And again, I follow the Dirty Dozen list, to be honest. So there are certain foods that are higher in pesticide residues. There are some that are okay. Things like bananas and pineapples and avocados, they're in the clean list. Sweet potatoes, you know.
Yeah, because their skin is protecting them from whatever's been sprayed. And again, I think this goes back to the importance of growing your own, or shopping locally where you know the person who's grown it, so that you have a clue as to what has been sprayed on it. Because I think in our culture, if we can't see it, if it's not obvious, we just don't think, we assume it's not there. Whereas, you know, the other thing that I loved, you know, last couple of years ago, I volunteered on a biodynamic farm. But to be able to just go out and pick the fruit or the vegetable from the ground.
There's nothing nicer. It's wonderful.
Yeah, because that life force, you know, even a fridge, much as I would never be without my fridge freezer, you know, it's made us a bit lazy. The food's in there and it's lost a lot of its life force because we can. Whereas before, we had to be a lot more intelligent about how we ate.
Yeah. Again, going back to what you said, Lilia, about, okay, if we want to be self-sufficient, we need to find ways to preserve our harvest. And it just so happens that fermenting, I mean, it's the traditional way to preserve, and it's what people used to do, like years ago, before anybody had fridges, supermarkets weren't a thing. People used to grow their own stuff, and if it was cabbages, then they would need to then do something to preserve those foods that would see them through the winter. Yeah. And the really cool thing about when you ferment something is you end up with something better than you started with. Yes. You can take food and you can freeze it, and you won't lose much, but you won't gain anything. If yes. you ferment something, like take a cabbage, for example. Cabbages are good as they are. That's a good food. Cabbages have got vitamin C, they've got fiber, they've got all sorts of cool stuff, but you ferment them in salt for, you know, a few months or 6 weeks, whatever, their vitamin C content shoots up by a huge amount. Things get broken down, everything becomes more bioavailable. Plus, you've got tons of these probiotic lactobacillus bacteria. So, and again, if you look at what do we do to preserve things, we'll either pasteurize everything, so heat everything at 100 degrees, so you've killed off anything that's alive is gone. So any live enzymes, any live bacteria, all gone. And then what we usually do is add in some chemicals for good measure. So we end up with some that's preserved. So we end up with some that's good, we preserve it, and end up with some that's worse than we started with. But if you use traditional methods, you'll end up with something that is actually classed as an absolute superfood because it's got so much good stuff. It's pre-digested, it's full of live bacteria, and it tastes amazing as well. It will really get your taste buds going, and then you'll start to crave it. Because once those wee guys get into your gut, they're sending messages to your brain to say, can you send us more of that stuff, please?
Yes. And that's the thing that, you know, we know now that all the neurotransmitters in the gut are actually telling the brain what to do, not the other way around. And we've always tried, anybody who's tried to diet or eat healthily or heal themselves, it's always that fight, isn't it? I want this, the cravings versus what you, the intellect. And now we're understanding, even... Zach Bush was talking about cancer, the bacteria in a breast that has a lump is damaged compared to the healthy breast. So, I mean, I think it's super exciting information as to how we're going to be able to rebalance and heal and hopefully in the future move away from really toxic, harmful treatments. And the other thing I wanted to talk to you about before I move on is I watched an article on YouTube or something about identical twins who one was failing. They were getting the same food as you would expect, but one was failing and it became down to their gut biome. Now, I found that really interesting, I think, because you think, well, they're identical. But I think it goes back to this idea that, you know, one size fits all in terms of food. Yeah. And we know that's not true. And what tends to happen is people are trying to sell you their book, their way, of what they did, which is fine and it's helpful. Yeah. But I think the other thing is we need to expand. And I think that diversity thing that you just talked about is really critical. Because what people will often say is, well, I don't just want juice every day. And it's like, well, you're quite happy to eat toast every day. Yeah. So the diversity, there's a difference between eating the same and true diversity. Yeah. So I always say to people, you need to journal, because I don't know about you, because people just lie about what they eat or they're deluded.
I know. You know, that's actually a really important point. And again, going back to that word balance, that is, you need to find your own balance. And again, as I said, I don't fit into anybody's wee gang. I don't promote one thing over. Okay, I eat loads of plants. That's my advice to anybody. Eat plant-based, eat real food, right? If you want to eat meat, don't eat crap meat from the supermarket. I've rested wee chicken. I know about the state that chickens are kept in. The way that we produce food these days is just wrong. It's wrong on every level, and it's causing this chronic disease on a massive scale. And again, as I say, for me, it's that balance thing. You can always change the balance, and you have to. We have something called our gut intuition. If people use that, we would actually be a lot healthier, but people don't. They don't listen to themselves anymore. They're always wanting someone else to tell them what is right for me. And even as I say, with what I do, I mean, I'm incredibly fortunate. I don't have any health issues, you know. And I'm okay. I did have sensitive skin at one point, but I discovered what it was myself. I thought, well, if my body is showing me symptoms, if something's wrong, my body's trying to get my attention. And again, if we would pay more attention to that, instead of thinking, oh, I'm just getting old, oh, I've got aches and pains, oh, this doesn't feel right. If your body's trying to get your attention, then listen and think, what can I do? Can I maybe reduce my stress levels? Can I maybe start to eat a bit better? Can I maybe stop drinking as much alcohol? And you have to look at it and is that balance. And it's not the same for everyone. And that's the thing. It's like a jigsaw. You get your own bits of the jigsaw, but nutrition is right in the middle. It's one of the most important things, because what you eat creates your cell, it creates the quality of your blood, and it feeds your gut microbes. So if you have a crap diet, you can guarantee your gut is going to be full of junk food loving bacteria that will be creating absolute havoc in your gut, and they will not be doing anything to help you at all. So you have to think of it that way. And again, when I eat stuff, I think, I'm not just eating for myself, I'm thinking, what's in that for my gut microbes? In fact, my new game is, how many sources of prebiotic fibre can I get into that? I just shared the recipe last week, beetroot blissfuls. I had managed to get 11 different sources of fibre, and they were absolutely delicious. So I can eat them, feel dead smug, and think, that was totally delicious. And I've just given my gut microbes a feast as well. So they'll be saying, oh, that's great, thank you. Right, today we're going to go on, we're fighting inflammation today. Oh, we're doing this job, we're doing that job. And I just know that my gut, everything's all ordered. It's all in order, because at the moment I'm incredibly well. I have no health niggles at all. But if I do, then I'll address it. And I'll think, right, okay, I'm not feeling so good today, so why? Absolutely. And what can I do to redress the balance?
Absolutely. And it's exactly that. You know, where I live in the west coast of Scotland, there's been a few of our young men, and I say young, you know, maybe late 40s, early 50s, who've just been died of a heart attack suddenly. Mm. And then you discover that they previously had high blood pressure. And again, that's the whole thing where you're like, oh, if only. Now, we don't know. But again, it's the body communicating. And I think, again, it's the invisible, you know, where the language of the body is feelings, you know, and the body is talking to us all the time. But if we're, nobody's ever taught us this stuff, the power of the biome, and even the fact that, in actual fact, we're not eating for us, we're eating for our biome.
That's what I do.
Yeah, and I think the diversity, when Claire made a salad for us last week, I said, what all was in that? And she said, I said, write it in an email. There was 18 different things in there.
That's the way to go. Exactly. She's on the same page as me. That is exactly what to do. And it's not about eating loads of the same thing. It's about, if Claire, I mean, forages as well, as I said, that's one of the best ways of getting that extra diversity. And again, with nature, you can't get things all year round. Some things have a fairly short season, but they're incredibly good for you during that time. Uh-huh. I mean, I grew up in Wishaw, and you know, when I was young, you only got salads in the summer. You got strawberries and raspberries in the summer. They grew in the Clyde Valley. You went and picked them yourself. And now you can get, you know, the same stuff all year round. Most of it tastes awful. Yes. It's forced on. It's wrapped in plastic. All sorts of chemicals. It's not the same.
It's madness.
And again, as I say, we only have to look at the amount of chronic disease that we have, and it's all been related back to dysbiosis in the gut, and it's all caused by crap diet, people living really stressful lives, people not understanding and not connecting with themselves and understanding what is going on. We've been led to believe that going to the supermarket, you buy some in a packet that is like a food-like product. It's not real food. You go in, where is the health food aisle? It's not even a whole aisle. So it's like, what the heck is the rest of the stuff in the supermarket? It's rubbish.
The crap stuff is cheap. Yes. And the real stuff is just like, what? And they've got the cheek to make it, oh, that's organic, as if there's something unusual about that. It drives me absolutely crazy.
Years ago, Lilia, everything was organic, because I mean, I grew up, you know, most people grew some of their own stuff. I grew up myself, but nobody had, you know, loads of money. Everybody had to eat seasonally, and nobody had the money to go and stock up a massive freezer full of stuff. Everyone supplemented the diet with some stuff that they grew in themselves. My mum used to just go up to the shops two or three times a week, and you go, okay, it was slightly more limited diet then, but at least it was real food and it was organic food. If you got meat, it was from animals that had actually had a life, that were actually out eating their natural food source. Absolutely. Not and given antibiotics and all sorts of growth hormones and all sorts of crap. It's not the same on any level.
I know. And to actually, I think that's the other thing. I mean, I think actually Scottish farming is way better than a lot of the US farming. I know they're not allowed to do a lot of things with the animals, and a lot of our animals do roam free and have a nice life. But the idea that you can keep a chicken in a cage and that at some level and force feed it so it gets fatter, and then that, and then you ingest that and it's not going to affect you negatively. It's just bonkers.
Well, I'll tell you, I rescued ex-battery chickens for years, and I had 3 lots of them, and I cannot tell you how sad it was to go and get these wee chickens that were 18 months old, that the ones that I'd rescued come from a free-range facility. All they'd done for the 18 months was lay eggs, and that was them at the end of their useful life. So they were either sent to slaughter for dog food or whatever, or I got them through the British Hen Welfare Trust, so went up to get them, and you have never seen chickens like this with hardly 2 feathers together, the nails all on, they'd never seen the light of day, the wee coxcombs were all tingled over, and when I got them home, I'll never forget it, we were all standing together crying, they were almost like they'd never had their feet on grass before, and they were kind of, you know, going like this, and then realising, oh my God, I can actually open my wings. And
was that in Scotland?
That is in Scotland. Lily, I tell you that even free range means absolutely nothing. All that means is they can be in a massive big barn with a wee tiny door at the end. So in theory, they can get out the door if they want to, they don't. And the chickens that I got, and these were from supposedly free range, the only way I eat eggs is if I know where they've come from a farm where they've been out and it's organic and they're actually eating a natural diet. Because within about 2 weeks, my wee chickens were all, they are the nicest, nicest wee things. I love them. We called them pets with a purpose. They knew their names. They'd come running down the garden when you shouted. My chickens were out. They used to eat kale at that time. They used to grow a lot of stuff. They used to think it was like help yourself, pick and mix. Never ate any of the weeds. They only liked the good stuff. They liked the kale and the spinach. I used to feed them with like oats. They get coconut oil. They get sweet corn. And their eggs were absolutely outstanding. Mm-hmm. They were out in the sunshine. They were scratching up. They used to come into the house. They were amazing. And their eggs were amazing because they were wee animals that were loved, that were fed the natural diet, that were allowed to live their life in a normal way. Mm-hmm. And you know, and it just broke my heart when I saw the state that they were in. And people still think, oh, I'll just buy free range eggs, that's okay. I mean, even that the Happy Egg Company, that's a total con. You know, the chickens are all out having a great time playing and climbing frames and enjoying themselves. No, they're not. They're all crammed into blooming barns with a tiny wee door at the end. So again, it's that misinformation that's out there. And here's the other interesting thing. When you look at a food, and again, okay, there's all the difference between organic and conventional. A lot of the time, it's not the macronutrients. It's not the big things. Mm-hmm. And that's the things that we'll generally measure and then say there's no difference. It's all the other stuff that makes the biggest difference to your gut bacteria and to your immunity. It's all the phytochemicals. It's all the things that organic food has in spades and the conventional stuff has none of.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you look at it that way, and again, if you've got something that's grown in a way that it's supposed to, if you've got organic plants growing in a living soil, that soil is teeming with microorganisms, all sorts going on. The roots are absorbing all sorts of stuff. So you'll then have those plants that are going to have absolutely masses of good stuff. The other interesting thing is about organic in terms of plants. If you've got an organic plant, it has to have its own defence mechanism against pests. Right, because if you've got conventional crops, they're growing, and I mean, plants will grow with the 3 macronutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. You can grow them in pretty much a dead soil as long as you give them. So you will have plants of what value? Also, they're sprayed with pesticides, so the plants don't need to have any sort of defence mechanism because they don't need it. And there's also been research to show that when you eat organic plants, because of that sort of defence mechanism that those plants have, that actually stimulates your own immunity and gives your own immunity a boost because your own immune system is reacting to, you know, those things in the plants that are never measured, but they're there.
Well, that seems to me so obvious. You know, yes. I think as a human being, how could you look out at nature and think you were more intelligent than her? And that you could adjust things for your own greed or whatever and not cause and effect. It stuns me. You know, I'm like, how did we get here? And, you know, the whole movement Heal Scotland, which is the only way I can see us as a country changing our health picture from one of the worst in the world to one of the best in the world. And I know it's possible. But as if we start growing our own foods and learning from people like you about fermenting and how to forage. You know, I was up there last week and even in Oban, I called into Oban on the way back and I'm looking at everything differently now. I'm like, Everything's there in nature. The abundance, the wonder, the magic, and it's like, how the hell? Well, we know they burned all the witches and a lot of the information was
lost. Again, that's why mine is, you know, I'm called Nourished by Nature, because again, as I say, I've got a scientific background. I've published papers in scientific journals and all sorts. But I go back, you know, like you, Lily, you cannot improve in nature. An example is, you know, again, we'll just extract stuff out of it and do the same. Meadowsweet, for example, which is a plant, which is what aspirin
is. I know about it.
And if you smell meadowsweet, right, so you can make a tea with meadowsweet and it will do exactly the same job as aspirin will do, but without all the negative side effects. Because what did the scientists do in our ultimate wisdom? We'll just take the active ingredient and we'll concentrate that up, but we don't have, without all the buffering components that you'll have in the natural plant that will stop the side effects. And then what you end up with is something that, you know, the side effects are worse than what it's supposed to be fixing. But if you go back to nature, it's all about whole things. It's not
exactly
about
the wholeness. Yes.
And if you go back to something like an apple, you know, everybody knows, oh yeah, an apple a day is good for you. Why is an apple good for you? But you could say, well, it's because it's got vitamin C, it's because it's got pectin, it's because it's got that. So you could say, okay, well, what we'll do is, oh, we'll just extract the vitamin C, we'll give people that and that will work the same. No, it won't, because it's the whole thing that's important. And we don't know the ins and outs of all of that. And then you take the complexities of what's going on in our gut, and it's like, how could you possibly ever figure it all out? You can't. So you just have to follow rules. You eat real food, eat to feed your gut microbes, and listen to your body. If you've got niggles and you and health problems, do something about it. But don't go rushing off to the doctor to get some drugs to mask the symptoms. My wee new thing is bugs, not drugs. If I've got a nickel,
I love it.
I'm fixing it with my gut microbes, because they do all the same jobs that drugs do, but without any of the negative side effects. You know, if you talk about inflammation, again, inflammation is at the root of every chronic disease. If you've got a good balance of microbes in your gut, they are continually fighting inflammation so that it doesn't ever get to that chronic level.
Yes.
If you don't have these guys, then okay, you can take drugs which will mask inflammation, but they're not solving anything, they're not changing anything, and they are causing side effects as well.
Of course, absolutely. And the other thing that infuriates me, that we have in, you know, in our land and our waters around us, some of the best superfoods in the world. I know you're into nettles as well. Nettles, ooh, that we just
nettles.
No,
yes.
Idea the power. But think of mackerel, trout, salmon, herring, all the shellfish. I mean, we used to collect a lot of shellfish when we were younger, and there definitely isn't nearly as much now, because I don't know what the hell's going on in the oceans. But you know, cod, haddock out in the loch, in our rivers, salmon, brain food, full of omega-3. Outside your door were gooseberries and brambles and raspberries growing wild. Rhubarb grew everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, we really didn't need to start frying Mars bars. There was absolutely
no need.
And so, from again, if we look at this whole COVID pandemic, whatever the rights and wrongs and truth about it are, the big thing is a lot of people are scared. They're scared because they don't trust their bodies. They don't trust their body that if it gets this flu, that it'll recover, or they don't trust that of their children. And I know there's people compromised, and I'm not making light of it. Some people want to, as we do with all our old folk, if you've got a bad cold or an infection, you stay away so that you don't pass something on. I think we're all smart enough to do that. But the big thing now is we need to become uncompromised. What are we doing? What, you're going to stay in your house for the rest of your life in case you catch something? We can't live like that.
Do you know what, Lily? You're absolutely right, you've just said there. And again, I trust my own immunity to keep me well. That's why we have an immune system. Our immune system is there to fight off bacteria, viruses, all sorts of stuff. But you need to give your body the building blocks that it needs to be able to work effectively. And the whole reality is, it would be the whole COVID-19, the majority of people who have, you know, a decent immune system will be totally fine. Their body will fight it off. Yeah. And it's like, why are we hanging about waiting for some magical vaccine to appear? And again, it's almost like, I don't trust my own body to keep me well. Or you'll get every now and again, oh, vitamin D is vitamin, and people think it's one thing that's going to be, it's not. If you look after your immune system and you do that by eating a decent diet that has all the things that your body needs, it's not about, it's only a bit vitamin D or it's a bit magnesium. It's all of those things, and we need all of them in balance. But we also need to be able to learn to trust our own our own body. That's why when our bodies are meant to keep us well into old age. We're not meant to have all these chronic diseases and, oh, it's just because I'm getting old. No, it's not. We can actively do something about it by the food that we choose to eat. And again, as I say, you create your health every day by what you eat. What you eat today is going to feed your gut microbiome. That's going to give you your health for tomorrow and for the next day.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's a message we really need to get out. Now, before we finish, because I want all, you're not going to get rid of me now, I tell you. I love everything that you're saying. It's such a powerful and essential message. If we really want to imagine a new future for Scotland with one of the best health pictures in the world, the information that you're giving out right now is critical, and it's simple and it's easy. But before we finish, tell us how to make fermented potato wedges.
Oh, right. Well, that's very easy. But here's another thing, Lily. People used to soak stuff years ago, but now it's like every day, oh, I don't have time. All you do is you make up a 3% salt brine, right? So that's 30 grams of salt in a litre of water, preferably filtered water, or if it's tap water, let it sit overnight for the chlorine to evaporate off. Get a big glass jar. Just don't peel your potatoes. Just wash them. Cut them into wedges. Put them into your glass jar, pour your 3% brine over the top. I put in a couple of smashed garlic cloves and a couple of bay leaves because I've got loads of bay leaves in the garden. You can put some spices in or whatever you like. Then just shut the jar. And the brilliant thing is with potatoes, the wedges all sink to the bottom. The wee mantra when you're fermenting vegetables is under the brine and all is fine. You generally need to make sure that you're putting something to keep them all under.
Covered.
But the potato wedges just all sink to the bottom. What you do is leave them at room temperature, clip the lid shut, leave them at room temperature for 3 or 4 days, and you'll start to see some fermentation going on there. So what happens is all the sugars and the starch pretty much gets broken down, so they're much better for you. And also when you cook potato wedges in the oven, there's something called the Maillard reaction. It's a browning reaction, and you can get acrylamide and stuff sometimes formed, but when you ferment your potato wedges, you never get that. So they're easier to eat, they're pre-digested, and okay, there's no live probiotics in them because you're going to cook them in the oven at high temperature, but what happens is during that fermentation, everything's getting broken down, so the bacteria are doing the work there, and then you just cook them and you eat them, knowing that that's easier for your body. So I'm going to put that in the blog, but that is so easy. But again, people used to soak things because that makes it easier for you to digest.
I know, because I remember we used to get salt herring every new year. That's how you kept the fish, that's how you managed to have fish when it wasn't there.
The other thing
about fermentation, I always say to people, you know, one of the most energy consuming things that you can do for the body is to eat. The body is using up to 80% of its daily energy to digest the food. So if you can start putting in foods that are partially pre-digested or broken down into a way the body can recognize and assimilate, you're conserving a lot of energy, because if you're having to dig in to that 20% that you've got left, that's when you start like, oh, I'm tired, oh, I don't have any energy. No, because you're not eating any energy. You're not giving the body the fuel it needs.
That is such an important point, Lily. And again, also just to finish on as well, that is, it's quite a good thing. Even, I mean, intermittent fasting is quite a thing, which actually does make total sense, because as you say, eating food takes a heck of a lot of energy. It diverts your body away from doing the maintenance and repair stuff, because it's too busy diverting energy to digest food, especially if you're eating a lot of processed food that's hard to break down, a lot of animal food, really hard to break down. They stay in your system for a long time. I just forgot what I was saying there. Yeah, the intermittent fasting thing as well. If you can just eat within a certain window, and it means then when you're not eating, your body's got a chance to just reset. Because even the actual the fact that you have to eat food, it still puts a bit of stress in your body, and it can still produce a bit of inflammation depending on the balance of gut microbes you have. So it does actually make sense to think, okay, well, I'm going to eat between, say, maybe 10 o'clock in the, even if it's 10 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night. So I'm going to eat my food in that period, and then I'm going to have the rest of that time for my body to get a bit of a rest. And that actually does work. That works as well.
And, you know, I talk about that, obviously, not just from the food perspective, but from the stress perspective as well. You know, we're putting ourselves into fight or flight. And the first thing, if anybody comes to me with anxiety, is we have to test for candida, because that will very often be the underlying cause of the body shouting at you, I need help, I need help. And so we're continuously in this fight or flight, adrenaline, cortisol, you know, vagus nerve, all that state. Of course, you wear yourself out. So when you can click back into the rest and restore, you know, and just create the habit of going back, take yourself out of that state, get the great foods, the fermented foods, and just learn a few simple new habits, even a couple of things that they could pick up from you. You've got a page, loads of recipes, great ideas. So I can't, you've just totally re-inspired me. It's been fantastic talking to you. I would like to do a live with you as well, but I'll chat to you about that afterwards. So the message is, guys, real food, whole food, ferment food, and get that gut biome with a diversity of different things, particularly at this time of year when there's so much available. We're working on a book, Janice, that for Heal Scotland, which is about, it's to reconnect people back to our land, our phenomenal land. Now I'm a big outdoor person, the mountains, get into the sea, get into the rivers, breathe, be in nature, get in the forests, you know, and obviously eat our foods and use our medicine. It's all there for us. So I can't thank you enough. It's been fantastic chatting to you. And I'll definitely have you back because I could keep you here.
Well, that's my problem, really. I've got far too much to say. But anyway, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for inviting me on. And as I say, I'd be delighted to speak to you any other time. And again, what to do is maybe if you want to make your fermented veggies, look at my YouTube channel. I've just put on a simple one, how to make simple sauerkraut. It's all explained. It's not complicated at all, but you do need to follow a few wee rules.
Great. So, and what we'll do is we'll put the links to your page and your YouTube, because I know you give away a lot of really powerful knowledge for free, and that's what we need to do now. Is we need to be inspiring people that don't have the budget. You know, I was talking to somebody who wanted to do the Gerson therapy. She's got breast cancer, and she says, "I just don't have the money." And that just, you know, I just think that's wrong in our society and our development, that you can't afford to get tons of veggies. It's just, if you're not growing your own, it's a sad fact. So we're on a mission to change, to help and inspire people about the power of the land.
That ties in with my mission as well, because I would love to get Scotland as a nation of fermenters. I mean, we grow cabbages all year round. We like salt. All you need is a glass jar, a cabbage and some salt. We could all be making our own sauerkraut, then we'd all be much healthier. We'd all have a much better balanced microbiome. So that's one of my missions, is to make Scotland into a nation of fermenters, not a nation of people that fry everything, like Mars bars and pizzas and stuff.
Absolutely. And you know, that's all that we need. We need these simple, this is what I've been saying about the book. I want people to open it and go, I could do that. It has to be simple, practical. And you know, even if you live in the city, there's a park nearby, there's a river nearby, you can walk, you can forage, you can recognize. There's great apps to help you, you know, identify, photograph what you'll have in the book. But I just downloaded an app that helps me identify, because I seem to have like plant dyslexia. I'm like, what's that called again?
And when you're out foraging, you don't want to make a mistake. That's why I like things like nettles, because everybody knows what they are. Dandelions, they're pretty,
exactly.
But when it comes to things like mushrooms, I'm like, I need to go on a mushroom foraging course, because I don't have enough knowledge to, choose. And but I do, I love foraging. It's just the best one ever.
I think that's, that's something we need to make clear as well, is that, you know, you do need to know what you're picking and what you're eating, because there are things that are, you know, designed to make you sick.
That's right.
So you need to know what you're at. Anyway, thanks a million, Janice. I really, really appreciate your time and your expertise. And we'll chat to you again really soon.
Brilliant. Great stuff. Ciao, ciao. Thanks very much. Bye. Okay. Bye.